This is Pastor Kevin. The message you're about to hear was prepared for my church family with prayer and care. I share it with you so that God's Word may impact your life as it has mine. Most of the message recordings on my website are accompanied by listening guides or note sheets to help you focus on the message and identify the key points. I encourage you to download and print the guide or note sheet for this message and use it to take your own notes. And when it comes to decision time, you'll find it easier to recognize just what God is asking of you. One more thing. Pause the recording and pray, asking God to meet with you personally in the next few minutes. That's why I put these messages online, so you could hear Him, not me. God bless you on your journey to fruitful fellowship of our Lord Jesus. This morning, I want you to walk with me through a message I've titled, Unstopped by Overwhelm. That title refers to God. God is unstopped by our overwhelm. But I think maybe it should apply to us too, that we should be unstopped by our overwhelm. And I gave it a subtitle, A Personal Journey Through Something Too Big. I believe that's Mary's story. I believe that this is a story of something she went through that's simply too big for her. And all of her reactions and her words helped to reveal that. And so we're going to look through, and you have on your notes a very specific list of different scriptures we're going to look at. It's a bunch. And so let's look at how God is unstopped by overwhelmed and how we should be too. So in these scriptures, Mary is taken back by God's message that she, a virgin, would bear a child who would become the Son of the Most High. She's taken aback by that. Now, all that she knew about herself and her world is shaken at the core. When she said, when she's greatly troubled, that's what it means. Everything that she knows about herself and her world is shaken at its very core. You see, in her mind, these things can't be. But here you've got to understand. But God was real to her. And Mary believed in God. As a matter of fact, if you look in chapter 1 of Luke, in verse 45, Elizabeth, when she reacts to Mary, the mother of her Lord, coming in, one of the things she says in verse 45, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. And guys, this is a whole different story than Zechariah. There's no doubt in this story. That was Zechariah's story. This story is about Mary. And Mary is overwhelmed. And I'll tell you in a moment how I've come to that conclusion and understanding the story. But God is real to Mary. And Mary believes in God. And so God guides her through the initial shock that she experiences about His plan and helps her to become the mother of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And actually, through her experience, He leads her to absolutely change her world. Listen, after Mary surrenders to God's plan, guys, we actually count time from Jesus' birth. And we call it counting time from Jesus' birth, but I want you to know, Mary was an important part of Jesus' birth. Amen? She was there. She was there. And as we go through all of this, I want you to be careful that you see this story about Mary in the right way. You see, Mary didn't know the whole story. When Mary sees the angel, guys, she doesn't have any of the rest of the story. It hasn't happened yet. When she sees the story, this is not a story that she's heard year after year after year. When an angel appears to her, guys, that's the first angel that's ever appeared to her. This is an amazing experience. And every experience that follows is like that. She doesn't know the story that you know. She doesn't know where it'll end up. She doesn't know any stories about the man Jesus. She doesn't know any of that. She's the one who's living this story. And so enter into it. And don't miss everything that's there in the experiences of a person actually living it as it's happening. Not just as somebody who's heard it and lived it a million times. And so this morning, I want us to ponder some questions. Mary ponders. I want us to ponder. I want us to think about things. And so here's a question for you. Is God's plan for my life or for your life so different and so big that it shocks me and leaves me a little bit stunned? Has that ever happened to you? A few times. I see some heads nodding. How about this? Despite my belief, am I hesitant because of the magnitude of God's will? Have you ever read something in Scripture that you knew was something that God is instructing, but when you read it, it's a little bit beyond where you are today? Have you ever experienced that? And that's the kind of thing we're going to look at today. And so we need to ponder this too. How is God guiding me in a way to obey Him that will change my world? Because I know this. If you're a Christian and you're still breathing, check. Then God wants to use you to change your world. He does. He does. He's not done with you yet. And so this morning I hope to leave you praying a little prayer. God, thank you. God, thank you for your gentle guidance when your plans overwhelm me. We need to be able to pray that. And so the takeaway this morning is down at the very bottom. We'll do the last first, and then we'll go through and make sense of it. Down at the very bottom of your note sheets, the takeaway, God uses people who are overwhelmed by His plan. Whew. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And so I want you to see some things this morning about Mary. You got places to take notes on these. They're on your note sheet. First of all, Mary intensely experienced God. Now I want you to know everybody experiences God. Even the evil people in the world experience rain and sunshine and days coming and going, the stable rotation of the earth, the blessing of gravity. Aren't you glad we don't have to float around in this room and bump into one another? Isn't that a blessing? I mean, look around you at the people you'd have to be bumping into. But God is doing all of those things for the good and the evil alike. But there's some things that are reserved for those who follow God. And so Mary intensely experiences God. She doesn't just experience Him, it's an intense experience. And as she has these experiences with God the Father and God the Son, God is helping her to embrace His grand plan. Which, remember, she doesn't know it all in advance. It's unfolding as this story unfolds in her life. And so I want to walk you through really quick. Again, we're going to stay up at 30,000 feet or wherever. The Scripture records 8 distinct experiences she had. I'm not going to list all of her life, but 8 of them that are so important to the journey we're looking at this morning. The first is that angelic appearance. The angel's announcement in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The angel appears to Mary, a virgin, and tells her, "You're going to have a child by the Holy Spirit. He will be the Son of the Most High." This is the first time that Mary ponders things. She ponders what kind of greeting this might be. And when you hear she's pondering, or she treasured up all these things, or she's thinking on these things, or she's trying to figure it out, or whatever you've got written in your Bible in the translations, here's what it means. Mary does this over and over. She gathers information, and she thinks about it. And she gathers information, and she thinks about it. Would you do that with me? Would you do that with me right now? Do that. She gathers information and she thinks about it. Try that again. Get your arms moving and do that a little bit. She gathers information and she thinks about it. We're going to do that all morning long. You can do that with me. She's going to gather information and she's going to think about it, okay? And maybe you'll leave with that. At least you'll be exercised and you won't have as stiff of joints. The second experience that she has is in Matthew 1, verse 18. The angel has said it. But in Matthew 1:18, it happens. The Holy Spirit comes upon her, and she conceives a child. And guys, we don't understand how all that happened, but it did. It's in the Bible. That's the second experience she had. And then the third experience that she had that God uses is Joseph's acceptance. You know, I really don't know what happened. Because of the story, you look at the story, by the time in the story, Joseph knows it's too early for her to be visibly expectant with child. And so this means that either she told her parents, and her parents told Joseph, or she just flat out told Joseph.
And we don't really know. But somehow Joseph knows. And Joseph finds out that his wife is expecting a child and it's not his. And then, come on, guys, you need to have the right reaction to this. This isn't today where this is, seems to be normal. This is not the way it's supposed to happen. Joseph is taken back a little bit himself. And because he's a good man, and because he's also a smart man, he wants to get out of this. That's the smart part. But God takes care of that, makes him smarter. He wants to get out of this, and because he's a kind man, he wants to do it in a way that doesn't absolutely destroy Mary. Because he doesn't know what's going on. But then he meets an angel. Guys, you'll know in the Bible, everything changes when you meet an angel. It really does. An angel comes and meets with him and tells him, no, it's okay. Take Mary as your wife. And so he grounds his plans to put her away secretly, and he takes Mary to be his wife, his betrothed. And that's so important because Mary experiences not just her own angelic revelation, but she sees Joseph hear an angel speak to him and do a complete 180. And you know what she does? She gathers information and she thinks about it. And she gathers information. Come on, try it out. Try it out. She gathers information and she thinks about it. She does this through the whole thing. It just keeps going. And then Elizabeth's greeting. She decides early on, very soon, she decides to go visit Elizabeth, her relative. And we don't know exactly which relative it is, but they're relatives. In Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. And she goes to visit Elizabeth. I have it on good authority that she didn't text Elizabeth on the way. I have it on good authority that she never sent and emailed her itinerary to Elizabeth. I have it on good authority that she didn't call ahead. I have it on good authority that she didn't Skype with Elizabeth before she headed out to visit Elizabeth. I have it on good authority that she didn't FaceTime Elizabeth to say, hey, I'm headed your way. She shows up. She shows up and Mary experiences this. She walks into Elizabeth's house and Elizabeth suddenly gets all excited and says, how is it that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? You gotta experience this, guys. You gotta get into the story a little bit. Mary's living this. None of this has happened before, and none of the rest of the events have occurred yet. It's not written down in the Bible. She's experiencing this. God is working in her life. This is a powerful series of experiences. And then in Luke 2, verses 8 through 20, we jump ahead a little bit. There is the shepherd's story. It seems things calm down a little bit. She has her pregnancy. She has this unfortunate experience due to government. Imagine that happening. An unfortunate experience due to government. Anyway, she has this unfortunate experience of having to travel to Bethlehem. Some of y'all get that in a few minutes and you'll hysterically start laughing right in the middle of something else. And that'll be funny too. But anyway, she goes to Bethlehem unpleasantly and they get there and there's no room for them in the inn. And so she has her baby in a stable surrounded by animals, not surrounded by her family who should be there and her friends outside who should be there to celebrate that moment. None of them. She has her baby in a stable surrounded by animals. Can you say, God forgot me? And then the most amazing thing happens. These guys start showing up. And they're shepherds. And it's likely because they're shepherds, unless they're fixing to get fired, it's likely that they probably brought their flocks with them. Can you see this? Can you see this down the little narrow streets of old Bethlehem? These shepherds start showing up. And can you imagine that? Just sheep everywhere. I don't know if you've seen on your property when the sheep come through, there's sheep everywhere. And then when that shepherd that's driving them from somewhere to somewhere, I don't know where he's coming from or where he's going, but when they leave our new property, it's covered with something else. Now, moving right along, there's sheep. There's sheep, all these sheep with the shepherds. And they come and they look at the baby and they begin telling Mary what's happened. And she's feeling forgotten. Now, remember, she's experiencing it firsthand. And so she didn't experience it like Hollywood. And the light, the single beam of light shines down through the single hole in the top of the stable onto the single manger, onto the single child. Isn't that dramatic? Guys, they were alone. And then these guys started showing up and they tell the story of what they had just experienced. When that child was born, an angel appeared in the darkness of the Judean hillside and spoke to them and told them of a child who was born unto them that day. And after the angel spoke, the heavenly host, I'm getting chill bumps just telling you, the heavenly host appeared to them and sang, and they heard it. And they come and tell Mary what the angel says and tell them what it all looked like, and they tell Mary what it sounded like for the heavenly host to sing. I don't think Mary feels forgotten anymore. She's experiencing this for the first time. She's far away from family. She's far away from home. Guys, this is unexpected, and it says at the end of that story that she remembered these things. You know what she's doing? She's gathering information. And she thinks about it. And she's gathering information. And she thinks about it. And she gathers information and she thinks about it. Then 8 days later, because they're good Jewish people, in Luke 2, 25 through 35, they take the baby, because they're supposed to do, there's some rituals involved. They take the baby to the temple. They walk into the temple. Understand, they're living this story for the first time. Have you gotten that yet? They're not well known in Jerusalem. There's all of these people that'll be coming in, passing through Jerusalem, all this activity around the temple and all this, and Mary and Joseph, these two young people. Can you say that? Young people. These two young people come in, and they're not well known, and they walk into the temple complex, and this old man walks up to them and starts talking about this child. And makes it known to them that all of his life he has been waiting to see the Messiah. And God has told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And he walks up to Mary and Joseph and he says, this is it. My life is complete. I have now seen the Messiah. As he's looking at your 8-day-old child. Extraordinary, unexpected experiences. And for the first time, it records that Mary and Joseph are astonished. Guys, after all of this happening, they're still not expecting the unexpected. This is amazing to them. They've never seen anything like it. They've not read the story over and over and over. They're living it day by day. Okay, Simeon gets done. And I guess he goes off to end life. And then Anna comes up. Anna the prophetess starts telling everybody around about the Messiah, this child. Can you imagine being in there and you don't know anybody? You've just come to go through the religious rituals with your child, and first Simeon comes and identifies your child as the Messiah so that now his life can be complete. Your child completed his entire life. And then Anna comes up and starts telling everybody about the Messiah. This child is the Messiah. Can you imagine being there that day? And that's a story that it tells about Luke 2, 36 through 38. And then I want to jump a little bit further into John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verses 41 through 51, tell a story that's related. It's related. You see, now Jesus, he's a preteen. He's a preteen, and they've gone to Jerusalem for a festival. And they're on their way back. And they've gone a day's journey outside of Jerusalem. And mom and dad think little Jesus is running somewhere around the pack. And they find out that Jesus is nowhere in the group. A whole day has passed. Your preteen child is missing in Jerusalem. Can you say parental panic? And so they go back to Jerusalem, and they don't just look for him that day. They look all the first day, and they don't find Jesus. your son has now been gone 2 days. They searched the second day for Jesus, and they can't find him. Now your son's been gone for 3 days. They didn't have Amber Alerts back then. And you go searching the fourth day. You search for 3 days, and so now your son has been gone 4 days. And you find him. And he is happily sitting in the temple. And there are people all around him absolutely amazed at the way he is teaching and explaining Scripture. Your preteen son. And I'm sure it's mama that looks up to him and says, "Honey, what are you doing here?" And then Jesus says, "Well, didn't you know I should be in my Father's house?" I'm thinking of the father moment. If you're a father, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I'm thinking of a father moment, okay? He's talking about, "Didn't you know I should be in my Father's house?" Now remember, they're still gathering information and thinking about it. And gathering information and thinking about it. They still haven't made sense of everything that's happening to them. They're still trying to figure it out. And I can just see Joseph, "Son, I'll tell you about your father's house. If you don't get your bottom up right now and get with us, when you get to your father's house, there's going to be some reckoning to be done." Can anybody see that? Because they don't understand. The Bible says that they didn't understand what he meant. They didn't understand when he said, my father's house. Listen, what Mary does with her experiences, gathering information and thinking about it, and gathering information and thinking about it, keeps her available to God. Mary doesn't say no because she believes in God. But guys, all the way through this story, she's still trying to figure it out. She's still trying to figure it out. She stays with God and she watches intently as he works in her life. And eventually she grows in maturity to match the will of God. That's what God wants us to do, isn't it? He wants us to grow in maturity. It took years, but she grew. And God was able to use her in extraordinary ways as she did grow. And so here's a key idea I want you to get from her intense experience with God. Is that God can reuse me. God can use me if I remain submissive. Remaining submissive means I always say yes and I never say no. If I remain submissive. She didn't just intensely experience God, but she was overwhelmed. Now that you've heard the story, don't you think maybe she was overwhelmed? I want to guide you through why I'm saying that. I have an extraordinary source that will help you understand overwhelm. Overwhelm. It's the Collins English Dictionary. Don't you love dictionaries? They all say about the same thing. I looked through a bunch of them, so I settled on this one. Experiences overwhelm a person when here's the definition, overpower his or her thoughts, emotions, or senses. It's just too much. It's just too much for us. And in such experiences, when that happens, far exceed one's capability to comprehend, to fathom their purpose or their meaning or their logic. We simply can't figure it out when we're overwhelmed. It's too far beyond us. And spiritual overwhelm, now listen carefully to this, spiritual overwhelm deals with capacity. Zechariah dealt with certainty. That was doubt. We're talking about overwhelmed here. It deals with capacity. It occurs when God's activity exceeds a person's natural capacities. Doubt, last week we talked about, was a discrepancy between belief about God and God's actual revelation of himself to us. That was doubt. Overwhelmed, though, is different. It's a discrepancy between our human capacity and God's divine activity. Sometimes God does stuff that overpowers our thoughts and our emotions and our senses. And guys, we're really not sure what to do with it or how to make sense of it all. Have you ever experienced anything like that happening? Mary was overwhelmed. She was overwhelmed. And so it's a discrepancy between capacity and activity. And so people react in different ways. And some people react to overwhelm intellectually. They try to decipher what's going on. They try to decode it. They meditate on it. They deliberate on it. I think here's what they would probably do. I think they would gather information and think about it. And I think they'd gather information and think about it. I think they'll do that. They're trying to make sense of it. Other people will respond in a different way. They'll respond physically. Jonah did this in the Old Testament. They physically get up and run. They flee. They escape. They try and get away. Sometimes people experience bodily or health changes because of overwhelm. It's physical reactions to it. And then other times people respond emotionally to it. I don't know if you know anybody like this, but when they get overwhelmed, suddenly the drama starts. Don't raise your hand, please. Please don't raise your hand. We don't want to identify that you know the person sitting next to you. And so there's drama that occurs in their life. And when that happens, they begin to lose control perhaps, or become hysterical, or they'll panic, or they'll go into a frenzy. On the other hand, it can work positively, that they become very excited and maybe even become hyperactive in trying to do things and get on board with it. But everybody reacts, and Mary reacted with that emotional reaction. And this is how we know that she was overwhelmed. We see her reaction. In verse 29, she pondered. It means that she rolls it over and over in her mind. She looks at it from all the different directions. She's deliberating. She's trying to come to a conclusion about what she sees, but she can't. That's what it means. And then in verse 34, she says, "How can this be?" Zechariah asks a different question. He asked the angel, "How can I be certain of these things?" That's the question of doubt. She never doubted. The Bible tells us she believed. This is really going to happen. She's just trying to figure out how. Because he's saying, "You're going to conceive a child of the Holy Spirit and bear a child." And she's thinking, "I can't." Right? She's absolutely right. She's trying to figure this all out. And so she asks, "How can it be?" That's a response to overwhelm. And in verse 38... we usually see this statement as a reflection upon her deep submissive spirit. She says, "Let it be to thy servant according to your word." According to your word. Have you ever noticed how clear the angel is describing exactly what's going to happen? But when she submits to the angel, she submits vaguely. She doesn't say, "If you want me to be this mother, then I'll be that mother." She doesn't say, "Then I'll bear this child." She doesn't use any of the specific language. She gives a vague thing, like somebody who's still trying to figure out just exactly what he's saying. You see, the angel's announcement to her did not bring clarity to her life. It brought questions and pondering. In verse 19 of chapter 2, when the shepherds have shared their story, it says, "And everybody marveled." Then it says, "But..." Okay, after the "but" is the person that didn't marvel. You know who's after the "but"? Mary. Mary did not marvel at the things that the shepherds told about the angels that they saw. Instead, what it says is she gathered up data. She treasured all these things. She gathered information. Guys, that's what she's doing. She's trying to process all of this. And in verse 33 of chapter 2, Mary and Joseph marvel about Simeon's words. After everything that's happened, they've not figured out that this is their normal. They're still trying to figure it out. In verse 48 of chapter 2, they're astonished at Jesus being in the temple for 4 days. And they don't understand. And in verse 50, they don't understand when he says, "My Father's house." And then finally, at the very end, when they find him in verse 51 of chapter 2, when she says she's treasuring all these things. Guys, these are all signs of an intellectual reaction to overwhelm. Mary is overwhelmed by God's plan. But God never stops, does he? And so I think you ought to walk away knowing this. Here's the key idea. I needn't make sense of God's will to obey it. Everybody say amen. Amen. You don't have to make sense of God's will to obey it. And then I want you to see that Mary changed. I love this. This is John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, there's a wedding. in Cana of Galilee. Mary got invited. Jesus and his disciples got invited. And so they're all there. There's a celebration. A Jewish wedding is quite a celebration. And they ran out of wine. I believe Mary's a Proverbs 31 woman, always keeping her eye on her household. And that's the reason she noticed this kind of thing. She noticed that they had run out of wine. Maybe not everybody knew yet, but Mary noticed they had run out of wine. And this isn't wine like we think of wine. This is more like fruit juice, like grape juice. It's just what they drink. And so she goes to the servants who are in crisis. Now, all of these things I've just shared with you that are signs of overwhelm, listen to the difference. Mary walks up to the servants, and in verse 5 of chapter 2 of the Gospel of John, she says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Do you believe at this point that she expects water to turn into wine? Do you believe at this point that she expects God to do something great through this guy? I think by this point, because of what she says, "Do whatever he tells you," I believe that she's figured out that extraordinary things swirl around the life of my son. And if anybody needs something extraordinary to happen, it's right now. It's in this wedding. And so he tells them, "Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you." That needs to be our invitation this morning. Do whatever he tells you. You see, Mary had come to the point where she knew. She knew what Jesus was. And what Mary does is she pushes other people into an experience. And just like her experiences, where they'll eventually be changed. She pushes them into an experience where they're going to have to gather information and think on it. Gather information and think on it. And they're going to have to come to their own making sense of it somehow. But it's going to take them time. Mary pushes them into that. Because don't you think the people who are standing there and see water turning into wine for the first time are going to have the same kind of experience Mary first had as she started her journey? Guys, Mary changed. And so here's the key idea here. I can grow in my faith by continually examining God's activity. I think continually examining is what gathering information and thinking about it. And gathering information and thinking about it, pondering. I think that's what it's all about. Guys, you need time. This is why we need a quiet time in our life. You need time. When you read God's word and you gather information, you need that time. And you need time when you can sit with God and think about it and ask him questions. You need that opportunity in life, or you might not grow in your spiritual maturity. And God wants to do something in your life. Mary changed her world by allowing God to use her despite overwhelm. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that she didn't wait until it all made sense? I believe that she really did affect some people. Think back at the beginning. If she had been overwhelmed and she had fled, we might have a whole different story. And think today about how Mary and her submissiveness, despite her overwhelm, how her submission to God, her yes to God, changed the life of her husband Joseph. And think about how it changed the life of her relative Elizabeth, how it changed the life of those shepherds who saw heaven open out there in the middle of nowhere on a Judean hillside. And think about how it changed the life of Simeon, how it changed the life of Anna. And think how it changed the life of all of those people who sat for 4 days and heard Jesus teach them the truth of Scripture. And not only that, but think about how it has changed the lives of countless numbers of people, even into this day, this moment, this hour, in this room, who have listened to her story and suddenly realize that God can use ordinary people. Listen, God used Mary to change her world. And I believe with all my heart what's written on the bottom of your note sheet. Look at it. God uses ordinary people who are overwhelmed by his plan.
This is Pastor Kevin once again. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen and to learn from God's Word. Often when I listen to Bible preaching with an open heart, God speaks to me. He gives me instructions. He imparts wisdom. And many times he calls me to a point of decision where I will have to say yes or no to him and to his ways. It's easy to move on after listening to a recording and make no adjustments to our lives, to make no headway toward the new obedience God calls us toward. I want to invite you to respond to this message. I'd like to encourage you to keep going with the things God has spoken to you through this message, and I'd like to do that through personal correspondence. So let me extend this invitation to you. Use the contact form on the website to send me a note about how God has spoken to you through this message. Share the insight God has taught you. Share how you believe God is calling you forward in your walk with Him. And share with me any steps of obedience you believe God is asking of you. And please include the sermon title too. I will pray for you and write you back to see how you're weaving these new truths into your life. I look forward to hearing from you. Don't let God's Word lie dormant in your life. Do something about it today. Contact me.